Let us pray. Lord, you are the creator, the sustainer. In you we find our hope and we put our trust. Today we talk about issues that can create conflict and strain relationships. And we ask for your word to speak to us and guide us in these uncertain times. In your name we pray. Amen. Today we want to look at the fourth reality. That is the reality that challenges us in our world and especially in our church. Having spiritual strength as we try to deal with the social issues of our day. I would quote to you from the book I used to find these five realities. And this is what he says: two major debates, the questions of sexual preference and abortion, will be center stage. But other issues will demand attention as well, including racism, societal violence, separation of church and state, and the increasing pressure on religious organizations brought about by the diminishing role of government and social services. As congregations struggle with issues of justice and peace, difference of opinion will strain relationships among members, and yes, even between members and pastors. Having read that, I want to choose my words very carefully this morning, because it is easy for us to create differences, feelings among God's people. With each of these societal issues, there are implications for us in our lives, and they bring about varying tensions and feelings. Have societal issues been with us? Or is this something new that we must deal with in our generation? Were there social norms when our Lord walked on the earth? The answer, of course, is yes. Think about some of the norms that were going on at the time of our Lord. And this is one that we sometimes forget about. For instance, at the time of Christ, the real question of the time was whether women even had a soul. Now think about that for a moment. The culture of that day was that women were created for one purpose, and that was to serve man. And for a woman to have any relationship in society, she needed to be tied to someone she had married. Well, I think we've come a long way since then. And yet, for those of us who are in our twilight years of life, also have seen tremendous changes in many of the social norms of our day. Some of us, when we were growing up after World War II, realized that there was a real battle about where was a mother's place. Was it in the home or in the workforce? Because during the war, many women went to work. And after the war, there became this great debate as to whether women ought to be taking their rightful place in the home, as some would say, or to be in the workforce. Look at how that has evolved over the years. Each generation has seen shifts in those kind of issues. And we in our society today have become so tolerant that actually we are quite intolerant. Our individuality is so strong. There is no place for someone else's individuality. Because we live in a world where it is all about me. And then to top it all off, most of these social norms that ought to be dealt with through the moral questions they raise have become so political that politics has become so ugly, it's hard to have a meaningful discussion about any and most all of these issues. Listen to our talk. Listen to our character assassination. Look at our ugly view of those who disagree with us. We fear open and meaningful conversations about these real issues of life. And oftentimes we tend to avoid those who don't think like us. Enters our epistle reading this morning. You know, it's kind of interesting because when I laid out these five realities, I didn't even look at the text for the particular Sundays that we were doing that. But as I was working with this, I realized, you know, God laid this out so beautifully for us as he talks in Ephesians chapter 3, where there it is a prayer for spiritual strength. Paul writes, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Oh, how we should be praying for the fullness of God to be a part of every one of our lives. Oh, how we need the power of the Spirit to work mightily in each of our lives as we tackle these issues in our own time. But what we need to remember is that God has already blessed us. He has blessed us with his glory. He has empowered us, and he strengthens us to be a voice in our world. And too often, our words lack Christ's love. We have opinions about everything, but have we really thought through the real issues? That the love of Christ controls those thoughts and how we speak to one another? Too often, we talk past one another. We don't want to hear what another has to say. We dig in and we care little for others' thoughts. And saddest of all is we live in a society today that cares little about truth. It sort of reminded me of a movie a number of years ago where there's a quote, "You can't handle the truth." I want us to think about that. It's time for us to deal with the reality of what truth is and is not. But oftentimes we can't handle the truth because it doesn't fit with where we may be in our own thoughts. You see, Satan works hard to divide us. He uses every situation to its fullest. Even the event that took place in this congregation almost a year ago, Satan is used to divide you. Satan has used it to create doubt and maybe even to drive some not to speak to others. Yet what I see is in this congregation a desire to move forward. It's hard to move forward when there are undercurrents, when there are rumors, when there are meetings that have nothing to do with moving us forward. I am here to serve you, to give guidance, to encourage, and to motivate God's people in this place. I am praying that God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, will lead us together. This is not about a select few and their desires. It is about a ministry that changes lives through the power and the working of the gospel and the Holy Spirit. We need to discuss, debate, and talk about the social norms of our day. And yes, we will not always agree. We may even find that we disagree. But our goal should always be the same, that our God would lead us to a place where we have been touched by the power of the gospel, and that we go down that road looking at one another as fellow members of the body of Christ. Let's not let the go down the road with highlighting our tensions, allowing Satan to continue to thrive in our very midst. You see, social norms have always been there, and social norms will be there, and we will be debating it into eternity. But we do need to mark, learn, and digest those very words of Paul, where Paul says there in our epistle this morning that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a beautiful prayer that Paul raises for the church at Ephesus. Too often we allow the very issues of our day to get into the way of our relationship to one another. There should be for each of us a very simple goal, that the love of Christ would control each of our lives. And as we deal with those serious issues of our culture and our times, that we let the love of Christ dwell within us. It's hard to do that sometimes. I have a friend who is married to her wife. She wants to discuss that, and yes, we can discuss it, but she needs to know where I stand. And I do. And we respect each other, and we can still talk to each other, even though I have told her time and time again, if you're wanting me to accept what you're doing, according to the Bible, I can't do that. But I will not stop having a relationship with you because I disagree with you. I will continue to share the good news as I see it with you. And if we can do it on that grounds, then we can continue to talk to one another. It's not about pointing fingers. It's not about being judgmental. It's about allowing the love of Christ to dwell within us. And as the church, unfortunately, we don't get a very good reading in culture because we have become so judgmental. We are not a leader in showing compassion We have been divided by our politics so bitterly and our opinions that get in the way of our relationships. It's time for us to be guided by the Word, to be a voice of reason in a very socially charged environment, to allow Christ to be at work in our lives, to deal with those issues from a biblical perspective, allowing the Word of God to be our direct and our guide, to be that breath, the length, the height, and the depth of Christ's love as we go out into our world to share with one another. Not living on the ability of knowledge, which is so relevant in our society today, but really our real goal ought to be to live in the power and the love of Christ. We have a light to shine. We have a hope, and we ought to live in that light and hope and allow the love of Christ to direct us, to lead us, and to guide us as we deal with this fourth reality of social issues that create a great deal of tension, conflict, and divide. We need to pray for one another, and we need to pray for God's Spirit, and we need to be like Paul, who says, "For this reason I bow my knees before my Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth has been named," and we need to live in the power of His love, His grace, His mercy. Amen.